You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about episode 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star, no, not All-Stars, regular season 14. Sorry, I'm getting them all confused in my head because we had a second Drag Race franchise premiere this week, and we are going to be talking about that towards the end. That is, I guess, an All-Stars. It's UK versus the world, airing on BBC. You can also find it on WoW Presents Plus. So we are going to get into everything from both the US season 14 as well as UK versus the world. But first, let me bring in the panel that will be helping me break everything down from the Drag Race world this week. First, let me welcome in Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you? Yeah.
That's how I am. I'll just save it for when we get to it. But
yeah, we got more eliminations than we usually have this week, whether it be the judges or biology, I guess. But we will be getting to all of that. And finally, let's bring in Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you? Also, huh? Or different emotion?
I mean... My draft team is still intact, so I'm okay on that regard. But in terms of like the general entertainment, a huge piece of us will be lost. So yeah. Of course, I'm upset.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just get right into this. I think the biggest headline this week really is Cornbread's shocking removal from season 14. So, in case you missed it, I don't know how, but unfortunately, we open the episode with, you know, of course, we have a little bit of the aftermath, blah, 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 whatever. But we go into the workroom and there is a queen missing and it is Cornbread. And all of a sudden, RuPaul comes in and says, unfortunately, Cornbread will not be continuing, but she has this message for you. And so Aman, she goes on and explains what happened in a video message that was given to the queens in the workroom.
Yeah, she rolled her ankle in the last challenge. And as a result of that, they told her to stay off of her feet for a good 6 to 8 weeks, which means you can't really compete in Drag Race. And then also, more information that we got in the What You Packin', I believe. She also said that in order to get the treatment that she needed, she had to leave the bubble, which was also another reason why she could not return, because we are still in a pandemic. So once you leave, you're pretty much putting everybody at risk. And so, yes, I have lost a second person on my team. The person that I was relying on heavily to actually be the one to win this season. So now I know that I have effectively lost this draft because there is not a Ice Cube's chance in hell that Matty Morphosis is going to be the winner of season 14. And I love me some Georges. I have the biggest crush on Georges. She's beautiful. It's not going to happen. I just don't. If Georges wins this season, I will eat chapstick. I swear to you, I will. I will do it again. I will do it again. But I just don't see it happening. And so I am in great sorrow because not only have I lost the bit of the draft, but I'm also saddened to see Cornbread go because she was clearly a front runner, clearly a narrator for the season. This is such a big loss just for the season itself. And I'm glad that we got to see this video of her saying goodbye. It was a bit dramatic. It was like, she's, hold on, guys, she's not dead. Like,
yeah.
She's still here, but it was nice that she got to, you know, say her little goodbyes to Willow and to Carrie and to clear the air with Jasmine and tell her there's no hard feelings. Mm-hmm. That was all great. But I'm sad. It does feel like a lot of the air of the season has been sucked out. So we'll see what happens now.
I have to say, super, super classy exit. I imagine that's got to be so crushing for someone to finally get to where you've been working towards, to get onto this platform, and then an injury takes you out, and she was still all smiles and her, you know, took it in stride.
As much
they
as
didn't
could
expressly
stride.
Say this, but
from the bed, girl.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't expressly say this, but I think we have to assume that she's coming back next season, right? Like, this is going to be like a Eureka situation.
I'm kind of, I don't know, because they explicitly said it the last time. Why wouldn't they say it this time?
It is interesting because it was one of those things where at least last time RuPaul got to make this like, you have an open invitation, like dramatic moment, make it like great. But this time,
yeah.
RuPaul wasn't with Cornbread, so maybe it was one of those things that they were like, let's see how it works out. I don't know. But I hope that we get to see her come back.
Mm-hmm. I'm conflicted about that because as much as I want her to come back, I'm like, it's just going to be, I don't want the whole season 15 to be about Cornbread's redemption. I don't, you know what I mean? Because I feel like if I were on season 15, and all of a sudden, because this bitch done rolled her ankle, now I have to compete with her. Like, I would just be so, at least with Eureka. Like, yeah, Eureka was like a big moment in season 9, but there were so many other queens in season 9 that were also big moments. So at least with her coming back in season 10, there is like a little bit of like unpredictability. And not to like shit on the season 15 queens that we don't know yet, but I just feel like she's such a juggernaut right now that I feel like I just wouldn't want her to like overshadow the other girls. I don't know. Maybe you just automatically invite her back All-Stars. I'd probably prefer that over season 15.
Well, we also have the history of Veronica Green in the UK who couldn't come back because of COVID. She contracted COVID when halfway through season 2 and then came back for season 3 as well. So I feel like it would inevitably be season 15 if they're going to bring her back. Yeah. But I'm not opposed to it, All-Stars. I think that'd be great. I think the one problem with that, though, is, you know, how soon is it going to be? The rumor has it that All-Star 7's all winners. So All-Stars 8.
Oh, I didn't know it was a rumor.
Ooh. Yeah, that's the rumor on the streets. So it'll be interesting to see if it's an all winner season. I don't know if they filmed it yet, though. That's the only thing I don't know is if they filmed or not. But we'll see. I'd like to see her back. She's entertaining as hell. And I would love to have her personality grace my TV screen once again. Or my laptop screen. I think that's probably more accurate.
I have to believe that if she wants to come back, she will come back. The language that she used also was very specific. It says, this is the end for me in season 14, which that to me indicates that, if I want to come back, then I will come back. Now, to Amon's point, does that mean that it's going to be an All-Star season? Does that mean that it's going to be a regular season? Just based on precedent, I would assume regular season as well. But I don't know. I mean, now this is, so we have Veronica Green from UK. We've seen Eureka in this situation. Another queen that, a little bit of spoiler alert for Drag Race UK, Victoria Scone. Was also removed due to an injury. Now, she has not returned yet, but I also got the feeling that she had the opportunity to return or will be given the opportunity to return. So my guess is that we will absolutely be seeing Cornbread. It's just a matter of what the format is going to be.
When,
I think for me, what was so tough about this was that for every other, I guess, except for Veronica Green, because girl tested positive for COVID, but like for Victoria Scone and Eureka, it was at least set up in the previous episode that I got this injury. So like, just to give you guys the heads up, this was such a shock when I was watching it because all of a sudden it was like, Wait, where's Cornbread? And this is all in the first, what, 7 minutes of the episode? Oh God, where's Cornbread? Oh God, Cornbread's on my screen. I was like terrified of what was going on. And I was like, okay, at least it's just an ankle injury. You know, hopefully this is something she can recover from and hopefully come back. But I was just interesting that they chose to not really have any indication that this was going to happen until the beginning of the episode. So, that to me was a surprising choice.
Yeah, I guess it just sort of goes to show that like she powered through it. She didn't really tell anybody until she absolutely had to. So, you know, credit to her. You know, I think there's like a little bit of like, just like a little bit of commentary about like performance and how people do this. Like people are like, this is actually really toxic. Like if you broke something, say something. Like don't power through it. You know what I mean? But in the same respect, like I get like, you know, not one.
And don't carry strug it, even though she got the gold.
Yeah, like do what you got to do, like protect your health as well. But I'm glad that she she got to leave on a really good note and a high note, and
we're gonna miss it.
Damn it. I knew it was a trap. I said this from the get-go. I was like, I'm gonna do it because I just feel it in my gut, but I knew it was a trap. I just didn't think it would be this early.
Well, I don't think you'd think it was going to be a medevac, right?
No.
No one predicted.
You know what? To be honest, we didn't know that season 14 was going to drop the four at the one, whatever, like Survivor did, and literally be like, let's do the editing where we don't show people getting hurt or advantages or whatever until that moment. Like, it's a flashback moment here.
Right.
Oh, goodness.
All right. So... it is sad. We memorialize Cornbread. She's not dead, not gone. But unfortunately, she will no longer be gracing our screens. I will miss her confessionals 1000%. And I hope to see her back on our television screen. It seems like she's been able to fully recover. She has been performing. So that is a good sign. It seems like everything is on the up and up, and she will probably be back, I assume, soon to join Drag Race once again. But we do have a few logistics things that this could ultimately result in. So we know that she did not have the gold candy bar, aka the producers swapped it out, gave her the chocolate.
Could you imagine if they were like,
she had
the gold candy bar?
You're like, oh yeah, like F my twist, right?
No, I just like the idea that, like, even if she fully did, there's no way the producers would have kept that, right? So they would have switched it around. But could you imagine RuPaul being like, and unfortunately for you, queen, she had the gold.
I would have actually loved it if she did have it. And like, they just didn't say anything to the queen. So like, we know the entire time, oh no, girl, you're going home. Like the whole, like so the audience is in on the joke the entire season through. I would have loved that.
That's really lit. But you know what? Next year, do the candy bar twist, say that there's a gold ticket, but there's not. And let's just, you know,
What if they didn't even tell the audience? What if it was just like, we keep waiting each week. And then all of a sudden we get the Survivor flashback editing where it's like,
yeah, we see
and Cornbread had it the whole time and went to the ER with it. Like, oh, yeah, no.
That would be
like
great.
On the gurney, just eating the gold. Like, oh
yeah. The gold leaf, darling.
Oh man.
So this also brings up the question of, okay, so we've got the chocolate bar, which means that there's one planned non-elimination, probably.
Yeah.
Is there going to be another one? Because we do eliminate another queen, which we'll talk about Orion, but you know, how does this throws in a wrench to the logistics of the season? So I wonder what that's going to change in the rest of the season.
Well, what we have to do is do what I like to call Drag Race math, which is every year we have to figure out, are the judges already going to do a double Shantae for a lip sync at some point, right? Based off of how many episodes there are and how many queens there are, which I have not done Drag Race math yet for season 14. But if they already had planned, this is our planned how one queen is going to stay is through this golden chocolate bar. Did they already also bake in this double Shantae that could potentially happen as it's become more and more popular as the seasons have gone on? And if they haven't, maybe they will now.
Well, based on when the twist was revealed, it sounded like, and now it's in Fate's hands this season. Like Fate is the one who's going to control whether or not you're going to stay, which makes me feel like the only double save that they had planned is what was going to happen with the chocolate bar. So,
I don't know.
So I'm looking. So because last season sort of like screwed all of this up for us. Ever since they right. moved to season or ever since they moved to VH1, season 9, 10, 11, 12 all have 14 episodes. Now, last season had 16 episodes.
Because of the split premiere.
Yes.
Because of the split premiere. Now, we technically had a split premiere this time.
Right.
So, if we can expect maybe 16 episodes again, that was episode 5. So, we have 11 more. And there's how many queens left? How many 10. People have gone home? 4? So, 10 queens left?
Which, with a built-in already... One save, so we'll and say 11.
And one of the episodes is finale, and one of the episodes is a reunion. So, yeah, someone's already going to be staying, so there's one again. So...
Drag Race math. I'm yeah. telling you.
Genius. Carry the one, divide by two. Well,
that's the other thing. We did
I
have
don't
a,
know.
We had what a double Shantae last year, yes? right?
Wait, what?
We had a double Shantae last year, right?
I lost track of the math okay. in my head.
Oh my god! Okay,
let's so there were 16 episodes, and they had a double episodes. Shantae last year.
There's a double Shantae, so that leaves 15. Reunion leaves 14. Finale leaves 13. Right? You have 10 queens left. Or
okay,
yeah,
so two save, three three saves. No,
one is already going to get saved.
Drag Race math is some common okay. core shit.
Okay, so wait. Okay, you so know what? We'll figure it out. That or someone smarter than us figured this out. Because
yeah. leave in the comments.
be like, these stupid bitches.
Listen.
Okay. I trust Amon's math. Whatever your conclusion was, I support.
I feel like someone's going to get the chocolate bar, obviously. And then that means someone else is going to get saved, which means we're going to have a queen left over. Which means we're going to have either two people go home in one episode, or it's a, or it's a top five, or maybe they go back to top three and they get rid of two people in the last episode, and then it's a top three at the end.
It's gonna be great.
Sure. Mm. Okay. I'm here for the ride. Okay, let's move on from our terrible math skills and let's talk about this episode. Okay, so cornbread aside, math aside, we had a Save a Queen PSA as our main challenge this week. Bosco ends up with it's her first win, right?
Yep.
Bosco's first win. And unfortunately, we get Orion and Georges in the bottom with Orion going home. Mm-hmm. All right, Beth, what do you want to talk about first when it comes to this episode?
First of all, why did they have to rhyme in this challenge?
Oh, in the PSA, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That made no sense to me. Just in the challenge itself, like, I've never watched an ASPCA commercial with Sarah McLachlan's, like, music in the eyes of the angel. Never watched that. And they're like, this is a sad dog. He needs a home. One that's a house and not a bog or something like that. It's so stupid. Like they've never rhymed before. Why did they have to go Dr. Seuss on this?
I guess equal parts writing challenge and equal parts acting challenge, I guess. Like cause they all had to write their own stuff. It was a little, I feel like it really did sort of like stilt the competition. Cause I wanted more drama. I wanted more Sarah McLachlan. I wanted more like, oh, for just 29 cents a day, you can help this person in practically no way at all, but it'll make you feel better on the inside. Like I just wanted more of like that.
Yeah.
They had to
exactly.
rhyme.
It felt like because they were limited in what they could say because they had to rhyme. And also because they only, when you have to rhyme, there's a certain cadence you have to do, which was clearly hard for some queens to fit in the amount of time that they had to say it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just felt like that was a weird choice for the producers for this challenge. But overall, I like the concept. Can we please bring back Tempest Du Jour and James Mansfield? Like, as talking heads, I don't even care. James Mansfield, I just want James Mansfield, like, to be sitting in a corner in the stool watching the entire season and then just getting confessionals like, well, they tried it. It was so good.
Like a Stacey Lane Matthews type of deal. Like back in, like, was that last
Stacey
season?
Stacey too. Yes.
I know I did good. So, you know, overall, from what I understood from the directive, it was, and Rue says so the whole point is to do a PSA for the Save a Queen organization, raise awareness of first eliminated queens who feel overlooked, underestimated, and just a little bit constipated. It has to be personality driven, also the whole rhyming thing. And then it's a commercial parody. So to me, the biggest part that stands out from that is the commercial parody part. And so that was like the thing that I was really looking for, because I am one of the things that really makes me laugh is when you take two things that are completely opposite and you merge them together. So something as stupid and silly as a Save a Queen Foundation in the Sarah McLachlan, just, oh my God, like the saddest, most emotional, slow down black and white, you know, videos, like that is so funny to me. And I feel like there were elements that worked really well, and then some where, yeah, it was a little like too Dr. Seuss count ha 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 kind of to it. So that didn't 100% work for me, but I did like the overall concept of what they were trying to go for.
Mm-hmm. So did I. I mean, because that commercial bit, like the further and further away that we get from that ASPCA commercial, I'm like, who approved this? And it would always be on like Cartoon Network too. Like, why are you showing this to kids? Like, yeah. We don't have, like, you think they're going to like go back to mommy and then like beg for like 25 cents? Like, it's just like, oh my God. So, and then when I tell you the applause that erupted in that gay bar when Sarah McLachlan.
Yes. That was amazing.
Oh, hi, man. I'm Sarah McLachlan. And this is wrong on so many levels. I lost my mind, but yeah, I think that I would have enjoyed participating in the challenge a lot just because mm-hmm. I've seen that commercial so many times. So I would have been all up in that gig, all up in that ASPCA gig. Just give me all your quarters, baby.
Am I the only one who actively, whenever I'm around family or friends' pets, if they're acting like they're begging for something, I immediately start shooting a video of them in black and white or shoot a picture of them. And then I will sing. I do it all the time to the point where I should probably just go through my camera roll and make like a VT, put it together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It took me, quick side, and it took me forever to realize why Jessie's song in Toy Story 2 felt so familiar. And it's because while Sarah McLachlan is not the voice of Jessie, she's the singing voice of Jessie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's the ASPCA, bitch.
That's so funny. That is what she's known from, though, I feel like. If you ask any person on the street, that's the first thing I think you think of.
Mm-hmm. Just love that you say that's the ASPCA, bitch.
I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
It's gonna get me. Oh, goodness.
I felt like the song, the Save a Queen song, was very fitting. Mm-hmm. I liked the way also that they just edited them all together. So it was just like one big PSA, because I felt like it would have been kind of awkward and repetitive to have them all be like completely separate. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. It also felt like it was, oh yeah, this is for the overall foundation. And here are a few of the poor, sad, eliminated queens that if you just donate a sensible 74 cents a day, you know, like I love that. I liked some of the inside jokes. I don't know. Like, let's talk about some individual queens because, you know, Jasmine, for example, who ends up in the bottom, but not in the bottom two. I did feel like, one, her rhyming was awkward. Two, she was way too happy about the headphones. I was like, the tone of this is supposed to be so sad. Like, so sad. Why are you happy about the noise canceling headphones? Like, no, that's not the point. So I felt like that was a clear example to me of someone who maybe didn't do so well.
Yeah.
But then I was like, who do I think did really well? I don't know.
That was the thing for me. I kind of found it hard to really say like who was, clearly there were some people that were just not, like Orion critiques I completely agreed with. It was just so dead, which, you know, she could have made that work for this challenge, but it just didn't work. So some of those, yeah, like Georges, obviously, like mm-hmm. the cadence mm-hmm. was just off.
Yeah.
But for the people that did really well, I was like, I feel like you could kind of give or take. Like, I really didn't know who was going to win this challenge. I thought it was kind of like up in the air between Lady Camden and Deja and Angeria and Osco. So,
and I thought Daya did pretty well too.
And Daya. Mm-hmm. You know what? Yeah. If there was one person that I thought might have taken this, it would have been Daya. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a weird challenge. And even though I understand like why Liana, for example, likes that it was all put together in one thing, it made it, first of all, it made it seem like it went on for way too long, which is why I kind of like lost my interest in some of it as it went on. And I think that that just affects how you view the queen's performance. And I also like, this is just a challenge. And I'm going to bring it back to the rhyming, that I really do think, like, if you had taken one aspect, for me, it would be the rhyming. If you took that out, that gives queens more freedom to stand out in their own way, because they're still writing what they have to say. They just don't have to make it rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just felt like this was one where I went, okay, cool. Bosco won. I liked the reveal of Bosco's runway, but I really felt like Lady Camden probably should have taken it if you're doing both performance and runway. Mm-hmm. So I just, this was one where I was like, okay, cool. Like, I like Bosco. I think is Bosco on my team or is she on your team, Liana?
I think on yours.
Oh, like, wow. Yours. How privileged the two of you have so many people in your team. You just forget who it is.
I don't know. One of the top queens, because I have so many. I don't even know.
Well, it's so funny because in one draft I have Angeria, and I always think it's this one. And then I'm like, oh, no, Liana has
Angeria. Yeah, I have Willow and Angeria.
Yeah. So like, I was like happy to get some points, but I also was like, I don't know. I would have gotten points if Lady Camden was too. So I guess whatever.
I don't know. I was like, I get that Bosco was definitely the most different in a good way, right? Like, there were queens that were different in a bad way, and I felt like she was different in a good way. I don't know if it wasn't necessarily like what I initially conceptualized. I was thinking like Lady Camden, like she was like, this is the saddest effing thing in the entire world. And that was kind of what I was envisioning if I were to do the challenge. It doesn't necessarily mean it's right, but yeah, I definitely gravitated more towards that. I also feel like Maddie, again, got a directive from Michelle to say it this way. She could compete with those bitches, and then they didn't even include it in the final.
I know.
I was like, what the hell is going on with Maddie here?
It's just, honestly, the way this is not shade to Maddie. This is meant as shade for editing. I really think that they're just using her as a stunt cast at this point. Cause they're like, oh yeah, we got to show her on and then she's doing well, but we're not going to include it in the final. Yeah,
they're too afraid to give her the win, because for the past two episodes, maybe, she really has been sort of like a big reason as to why her team has done well, because she comes up with a lot of the writing. Like, I've been watching Metamorphosis over the past couple of days or weeks. I was in a Twitter space with like that Bob hosted, and I watched the footage of her over at Roscoe's. She's pretty witty. Like, she's a funny person. So I feel like all these things that involve writing, she does well in. So she could have been like higher up. So
yeah.
I wonder why they're choosing to swallow that part of her edit. And I give her a win, like, you know, make some of these queer people be like, oh, we can't have the straight girl showing us up. You know what I mean? Like light a fire under her ass a little bit. You know what I mean? So
I love that.
I think it'll be interesting. I feel like if they're not willing to give her the win when she's clearly doing a lot, like, I don't feel like she's super long for the show. Like, I don't think that they keep her on throughout the entirety of the season. Like, I feel like she could go anytime.
I know, look, Ice Cube's Chance in Hell. Like, I know what's going to happen eventually.
I'm sorry, Iman.
Yeah, but wow, yeah. Beth, gotta brag about your own team. And then,
sorry, I just have to put a little salt in that wound.
I thought her runway was really gorgeous.
I thought it was really cool.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I think it still suffers from the same sort of, like, you need, like, a little bit of va-va-voom, like, you know, give us a little cinch here and there. But I loved the look. I fell for the illusion. It was great. I loved it. I thought that was great.
So, all right. So, okay. Top queens, I think we've gone through that. Angeria is again in the top, which, girl, okay, all right, all right.
It's the way Angeria and Willow are just murdering everybody in this competition.
And now without Cornbread also, I mean, yeah, I feel like it's going to be the two of them and then whomever else in the top. Yep. Like, those are the two I'm locking in for sure. And then at the moment, I could swap out, you know, a few other girls who's going to be in those other one or two slots. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, the bottom queens here. So we end up with Jasmine, Orion, and Georges. Mm-hmm. So, Amon, do you feel like the two queens ended up in the bottom that should have ended up in the bottom? Bottom two, I mean.
I think so. I think Orion just was just not giving enough energy. And I really like Orion, especially since learning, you know, about her mom. I just can't help but like just want to root for her. But, you know, her personality just doesn't pop. And that's okay. Like, you can still be fierce. Like, cue Cameron Michaels. You know what I mean? You can still be fierce and not be like a boisterous, loud person. But she just didn't really execute the assignment very well. And Georges, yeah, like, I mean, I feel like Georges was like self-sabotaging a lot. Like, she and it was so mean. Like, she said in her confessional that so many of her friends were like, yeah, you're not gonna be good at the acting. I was like, girl, don't tell her that. Like, support her. Like, you find out that your friend's gonna be on Drag Race and you know that they're not a good actor, you like run skits with them, you like, you know, show them like stand-up comedy routines, like help them. So I was kind of pissed off about that, but it seemed like she like chose to believe her friends and just was just like, I'm not going to be good at this. So I'm just going to try to do my best, girl, and just slay up the runway as I usually do. And if I have to lip sync, then I have to lip sync. Like, no, like, I want to see you like fight for it. And she didn't give up by any means, but I felt like she was a little defeated during this challenge.
Mm-hmm. She didn't even wear lashes. She did wear lashes. Yeah.
That's actually a good point that she was like, didn't wear lashes. And like during the run through, she was like, I feel like I have to be like cutesier.
And then regular, degular white woman.
Yeah. I love her.
I do think the three queens ended up in the bottom are the ones that should have been in the bottom. And then I probably agree ultimately with the two queens. I think that Orion's was, it's sad because, yeah, I totally echo everything that Amon is saying, that it's just, I think she there's something subtle about her that really fascinates me now that we've had a little bit more of a chance to get to know her. And I just don't think that that's something that's ever going to work on Drag Race. Like, it's just, it is a very specific forum that requires very specific things. And unfortunately, I just don't think that her sort of style and her essence really matches that.
Go ahead.
I'm on.
I was gonna say, I've enjoyed so much of her runway. I don't know why the judges were so hard on her. Like, not everything was like super, super, you know, like glamorous, like, ugh. But I don't think that she missed not once on the runway, whereas some of these other girls. So I think more than anything, I'm sort of like, I hope that she does the thing where, you know, she shows what her runway would have been if had she stayed, because I loved everything. I thought she looked so hot. I loved it.
That's exactly how I feel. I think that it's a really weird thing where, like, it's like the judges and the edit want us to think that she's not bringing fashion, but I think she has one of the most unique senses of fashion, and it's good. Like, I think it's not like, and this is no shade to some of the queens I'm going to listen out here, but it's not like a Jocelyn Fox, for example, where you're like, she just, in the words of Bianca Del Rio, fell on a rack at Claire's and just wore everything. Like, it's not something like that. Like, she really has a unique eye and you can see that in her, and she's gorgeous the way she paints. And I know I was hard on her earlier this season, because I was like, it's not like, it's really pretty, but like, I'm not getting drag out of it. But the more I've seen her, the more I've seen like, oh, that's just kind of her look. And it's completely valid. And I don't know. I think what her ultimate downfall here is, and this is, again, not meant to be mean or anything, I think that there's a level of self-awareness that she's lacking when it comes to acting and like what she's portraying, what she's putting out there. Right. And it's not in a negative way where people are like, oh, you're really offensive and we don't like you because you're not doing that. It's in the sense of like acting, right? So a lot of acting is reacting.
And when you have lines, you're supposed to deliver them like you've never said them before. You've never, like, you're thinking of them in the moment. And it was just came off so scripted, and there was no acting in her voice. Like, it was her voice that gave it away. Like, that was the problem. It had nothing to do with what she was doing with her face and her body. Like, that was fine. But it's just like, there's a level of self-awareness that she doesn't have with how she talks and like her tone and those kind of things. And I think, like, once she masters that, I think that she could be really great on a show like Drag Race. But that said, I mean, I think that she's a fantastic queen, and we should go celebrate her with our coins. Here you go.
I want to go back to her runway from this week. Her body. Oh my God. I am not a furry, but those ears are like, that was doing it for me. I'm not gonna lie. I was,
she was giving.
Oh my God. When she walked out, I was like, I am turned on right now. I was just like, yes. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking before I get myself in trouble. And the thing though, is that when they said it's not giving spring, and she talked about it in Untucked, she's like, bitch, where? Because it's the Easter bunny. It's pastel. She has flowers on her tights. So how is that not spring, but these other looks that are just the same, essentially the same thing, pastel
or rain. Like, how are you going to say April rain is shower, spring, but spring a bunny flower? Is not spring?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just felt like such a weird, they just wanted to pick on her, you know, like put her in the bottom because they're like, well, we're going to put her on the bottom. So we got to say something, you know, like, oh, it's probably giving me spring. Okay.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy when they do stuff like that. And I'm like, you can at least celebrate what's great about her. You don't have to like come up with something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You say, like, hey, you're being put in the bottom because quite frankly, you were flat in this challenge.
Well, that's the thing.
This look is awesome.
They had totally justifiable reason, I think, to put her in the bottom because
of course.
Anyway, so it's not like you have, anyway, whatever. Fine. Yeah. All right. Are there any other runways that you guys want to talk about? I think we definitely have to touch on Bosco's with the reveal, the loofah into the sun.
The loofah was not a look. I'm sorry. That was, what are you wearing? That's why I didn't like the reveal that much, because I was like, what are you wearing? It's just like, you look like a loofah. And then it was, and she was like, I'm wearing a cloud. Like, she had to say that she was a cloud for me to get it.
Same.
And then when she turned into the sun, I was like, okay, that's cute. I like the reveal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like when you go back to that, like, All Stars 2 runway where it was like two looks in one. And like, that's like people saying that Alaska's shroud was a look, and I'm like, that was just she was wearing a trash bag, like, that's I don't know.
I mean, I know how much Bosco wanted to get to nab a win here, and that was like the biggest indicator to me that I didn't think that she was going to get it, because, you know, they start the episode off with, oh yeah, like, you know, here goes these two snatching up the wins. I need to be on the board. I need to get on the board. I was like, okay, so you're not going to get it this time then. That's what I thought they were going to do. But then she went ahead and won this challenge where I feel like anybody could have won that challenge that didn't do bad. And then her runway wasn't like, I don't know, I just wouldn't. Nobody in the bar was cheering for that one. So I was just like, this is I mean, you have your win now, but I don't know if this is like a great win, you know, like, not to, you know, shit talk her, but I'm just like, I feel like there are better challenges to win and there are better runways to be had this week.
I like the concept, not the execution.
Yeah,
and I liked the sun look. That was fine.
Yes.
A little basic, but it was fine.
I would agree with that. I thought, and we kind of already talked about this, but Lady Camden's tea look, and then with her little like pouring out the tea reveal, I thought that was very cute. That was fun. What else?
Also have to say, I'm going to put this out there. I think we all appreciate Lady Camden's look, and we also understand that she's from England and tea time and like that kind of thing. How is that more spring than a bunny? I don't know. I'm just gonna keep harping on that for a ride.
Spring tea, I guess. Yeah. I love that we got to see Tempest and James and Kimora come back and be on the runway too. That was great. Obviously, was really Kimora coming back and with more Mackie. I forgot to read the article. There was an article that I saw that was like, how did Kimora Hall amass all of these Mackie things? So I don't know how she did. I didn't read the article yet, but like, girl. Like,
she's friends with Carrie Colby and Versace.
Like, damn. Like, her wardrobe must be like $1 million. Crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
It's a lot of coin. I need to ask you guys about Carrie's look this week because my brain hurts. What am I supposed to think?
Yeah, when she said Carrie's Cardi look? B, I knew what dress she was talking about with Cardi B, but I was like, I don't know. Like the general silhouette, I guess I can understand, but like there's just a little bit too much going on. Like you walk outside, you're going to get swarmed by bees, bitch. Like it's just so much foliage around her neck. It's just,
yeah, it's a lot.
And it's like the juxtaposition of like all of those tones up there with like that. I knew that she was going for like a green stem, but it just, I don't know, it looked a little tacky.
This, if I didn't know any better, this was a construction challenge when I look at this look. And this, she came around the corner and I was like, well, she really doubled down on trying to be ugly this week, didn't she? Because my God.
She went from J-Lo to this. That's crazy.
Oh, honey. Like, Carrie, I love you. And I love, you are gorgeous and literally everything but this outfit. Can't do it. I actually don't mind the neck portion. I think that's kind of cool. It gives me like Queen of Hearts, kind of that kind of deal. And if she had made the actual dress portion a little different, I think it would have been fine. I just, the concept is there. Once again, the execution is not. It looks like she just put a few of those like paper mache like decorations that you hang from a string that are like round balls on her dress that doesn't look like it's hemmed. It looks like just random fabric around her.
And the bow behind it is like very, it was drooping as she walked back. It just, it's not great.
This isn't like rolling around in the Claire's rack. This is more like rolling around in the Michael's flower and fabric section style. That's what it's giving me. Okay. Good. Thank you. I wanted to just like,
that was important perspective. That was important. But my gosh,
I did love George's look. George is just like the way that she moves across that runway, man. It's like a sprite. It's like there's like such like kick in her step. I noticed it especially last week during the J-Lo look. Like she just like gallops down that runway. I don't know how she does that. It's just insane to me. She's just she really knows how to work it. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what, when they talk about applying that confidence from the runway into everything else. Oh, I get it. I see it, because she does have such a strong presence on the runway. Mm-hmm. If only she could translate it to some of the other challenges. Willow's also the pastel housewife 50s help on the back and blood. Thought that was creative.
That was cute. That was funny.
Love that. Was great, yeah. But okay.
I'm going to be honest, in general, I didn't really like this runway. Like as a theme, because it's so open ended. It's like, I don't know what it is. Whenever they
what exactly
do,
was it springtime?
Spring has sprung.
I would have come out in springs. Maybe
that's what I was waiting for.
What I was waiting for was something like that. And the people who did something unique and different, that's who I like. That's why I liked Orion. That's why I liked Lady Camden. I liked the concept of Bosco and Maddie and that kind of thing. But for the flowers, all I could think of is like the dripping in flowers runway for All Stars 3. And it just turned into like that runway people had such an issue with a lot of the looks too. And I'm like, I think if you're going to do flowers, like, I don't know, there's, clearly, they don't always go over super well on the runway. I don't know if it's just like the way it translates to television or what the lights look like or something. I feel like if I saw any of those looks, besides maybe Carrie's, on a stage, I'd be like, oh my God, that's so gorgeous. Like, very cool. Love the concept. But for whatever reason, when I see it on TV, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about it. So I just was like feeling relatively underwhelmed with like the flowers look. Like Georgia's looks beautiful, but at the end of the day, it was a very simple dress with just a few flowers put on top of it. So I think that that's just one thing to keep in mind with the flowers thing. It's just like, is it the whole concept, or does it look like you just put flowers on top of things? Like, that's, I think, one of the issues with those kind of runways.
Okay, let's talk about the lip sync. So, oh yeah, and Ava Max was the guest judge who felt like she was being held hostage. I don't know if anybody else got that vibe.
100%.
So it's to her song, My Head and My Heart, and of course it's Orion versus Georges. So this felt like the editors were trying to tell me that it was lambs to a slaughter, because it was multiple confessionals being like, I can't take my eyes off Georges. Georges is killing it. Georges is this. You know, and then the one confessional about Orion is that she did take her shoes off and her wig was kind of falling off. I'm amazed that there was no comments about that, but
yeah, probably couldn't see her.
Well, that's possible, right? So the editing felt so skewed to me that it was just like, why am I watching? Why do I care? Right? Because you're telling me that Orion's going home. So what am I supposed to take from this?
I didn't necessarily think that this was a slaughter. I think that Georges clearly won. I think that Orion put up a good fight. Like, she did what she did and she did what she had to do. I mean, she was probably already going to lose anyway, but then kicking off the feet or the shoes was like, all right. Like, you literally just saw a girl do this. Why did you, like, the girl that beat you the first time lost the second time doing that? And then you did it? Like, why would you do that? But she, you know, she did what she did and she had a good time. And Georges lives to slay another day, I guess.
I did think it was a murder. Part of it, once again, I think was just Orion wasn't emoting the correct feeling for the song. Like, it came across like, I'm really desperate and blah, 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 like overacting like that, versus Georges was able to take like the subtle, like, sexiness that's in that song and kind of translate that into the movements and like really felt it in her bones. And I felt like that was just like the emotions that they were giving off was very different. I will say this is one of those situations where, like, the editing, to Liana's point, not just like with the confessionals, but with how much camera time was on Georges versus Orion, is clearly supposed to like help tell that story. So I will admit that I think a part of that, the reason why I feel like this, because I fell into the trap of the editing. But I didn't think Orion did poorly. It wasn't like she was, you know, like Kimora in that dress versus Denali, you know, like, I don't think it was that bad, but I think it was so incredibly clear that Georges won. Like, I didn't think there was any way at the end. Like, if RuPaul had said, Orion's story, Shantae, you should, I would have been like,
not two Latin queens in a row. Not that.
Right. No.
Start the pitchforks.
Oh gosh. I think maybe it was a element of low expectations for Orion from my perspective. Which I kind of feel bad for saying, but I thought she did really well. I mean, obviously,
I thought she did fine. Yeah.
For sure won. Yeah. I think deserved to stay. Absolutely. But I was like, okay, you're holding your own, Orion. Girl, get it.
Yeah, that's
it.
I was like, I don't think it was a slaughter, because she gave it to you, you know what I mean? She gave you what she could.
Right.
She could have just been walking around like some other queen that we're going to get to in the next couple of minutes. But she performed.
Yep.
All right. Well, unfortunately, despite her best efforts, Orion gets sent home. So we are, and chocolate, which, by the way, I feel like it's the Among Us noise that they play after they say it's just chocolate. And it's like, whatever that sounds. But that is the end of Orion's story for this season of Drag Race. Is there anything else from this episode that you guys want to talk about?
I thought it was so cute that in her note to Orion's story, Georges said that she had a crush on her.
Yeah, I better keep in touch.
I really want to know what the story is between the two of them now. That's so cute.
I don't know why, but I just love when people are like very open about those kind of things with other people. I think it's so endearing, like, in when you do it in a genuine way, not like when you're like, girl, you look so fine. Like, not like that kind of thing. Like, but I love when people are like, I have to tell you, like, I've had a huge crush on you from the moment we met each other. I'm like, that's so cute. I loved that so much.
I kind of wanted the check yes or no, because it's a note, like it's a little handwritten note, like,
that would have been
if you like me back.
It's so cute.
Tear off the bottom so you can keep the upper part of my note. But then,
Okay. The one other thing I do want to talk about, and I'm happy that they shared this, was Willow's story with more learning more about her her kidney disease. And I thought that that was something that was.
I just looked at the episode when she cooks up the chocolate. It is the Among Us noise.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
I was like, why are you laughing? Wait, whatever.
Did you say something really serious and I laughed?
I was talking about Willow and Jim Transplant and you were like, ha! Huh? Oh my God. Oh, horrible, horrible man. Do we have like sensitivity training for Amon? Like, we have a course we need to put you in.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was looking at the episode. I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I feel for you, Willow. I swear I wasn't laughing.
Oh my God. It's like feels her body degrading, her muscles are atrophying. Amon, in the background.
I want to go back. I can't wait to watch this on the YouTube page and go back and look at the three.
Oh, Lord.
That was a hearty laugh, too. I was amused.
That was incredible. That was incredible.
Okay. Glad we've cleared that up. Yes, it is the Among Us noise. Yes, that is hilarious. Something not so hilarious is Willow. I just want to mention that I do believe that it's powerful that they show these types of things and that she's able to, like she says, make her stamp. And I think that she's really having a strong impact on the competition. So I just wanted to make sure that we discussed that briefly.
It's also not lost on me that she is, you know, the drag family member of Evie Oddly, who also felt like, you know, they needed to be on the show to show what they could do and not be lost and forgotten in this realm when they were, because their body was also failing them. So I don't know if like that's what they bonded over in order to become a drag family, or if it's happenstance or whatever, but I think that that's super powerful. And I think that a lot of performers in general, and I think just people in general, have that feeling of like, how am I going to be remembered for my talents or whatever, or like whatever I give, and how do I best do this? And so that's why, you know, at the end of the day, yes, this is a competition and such, but it's a platform. And we say it all the time, like you could be amazing at drag, but be horrible at Drag Race and vice versa. Well, that's actually, there's not a vice versa, really. I mean, if you make it onto Drag Race, you're great. Drag artist, and like if you're good at Drag Race, it doesn't
horrible mean you're not off of drag race.
You're great on the show. Horrible off of Drag Race. But I really do think that, like, you know, she's just, I'm happy that she has this platform because she's killing the competition. And I think for her, I felt really bad that Cornbread left, because I think that a lot of, obviously she is going to do well regardless if Cornbread or not is there, but I think that having that person who really is looking out for you when you have a chronic illness or pain or whatever the case is, I think that that extra level of security helps to bring you to the level of like where other people who are more able-bodied don't have to think about those kind of things. So I felt really bad for her in that sense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have to talk about what's coming up next week, because Jasmine Kennedy is going to get her wish. We have another design challenge. They just wanted to use different fabrics. And they're going to be using stuff that is found in all of Michelle's random Amazon purchases. So that is what we are going to be seeing next week for this season.
I wonder who Deja is talking to, which he's like, yell at me again and I'll beat your ass. Obviously, it's a high possibility that it's like just like silly shade, but it looked a little
or out of context. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We get to see that in the preview. And it seemed like she was saying that in almost the aftermath of this episode.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, I didn't see anything that crazy in Untucked, but maybe. I mean, it did feel like she did seem to be upset, because in Untucked, it was like, oh, so I don't get to talk about my stuff or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So maybe this is just trickle over for that, but we will have to see next week. Okay, so that does it for Drag Race season 14. So if you are checking out now and you do not want to be spoiled on UK versus the world, which is what we're going to be talking about next, thank you so much for checking us out. You can follow the podcast and leave us a rating or review at robhasawebsite.com/dragrace. We really appreciate it. It helps people find the show. Please, 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 please leave a star rating and review. If you can, you can find Beth at AugustaWind11. You can find Amon at Amon Adwin, and you can find me at Liana R-H-A-P. Okay. So let's talk about UK versus the world. So we have briefly discussed the myth, the mystery that is this all-stars, world all-stars kind of season. And it is here. It is airing on BBC, and you can find it on WoW Presents Plus if you are in the United States. Beth, where do we get in to everything for this season?
Well, okay, so I think we just need to, first of all, outline the cast. Mm-hmm. We have three UK girls, which makes sense because it's supposed to be UK versus the world. They're hosting right. it. You have the UK judges, all that kind of stuff. So we have three season one queens from UK. Blue mm-hmm. Hydrangea, Bag of Chips, and Cheryl Hole. And then we have two US queens with Jujubee and Monique Hart. Mm-hmm. We have two Canada queens with Jimbo and Lemon, but then we only have one queen from Holland, Janie Jacquet, and one queen who is the host mm-hmm. of Thailand, Pangina Heels. Am I missing anybody?
No, I think you got everybody.
So there's certain levels here that are really interesting. You have queens who have never been judged or met RuPaul before who are about to. So you have the Canada queens, Thailand, and Holland have never been judged by RuPaul before. Mm-hmm. Conversely, you have two queens from the US who have been on multiple seasons with RuPaul. Yep. And then you have, you know, the UK where they've only been on with him once. So it's like varying levels of having to deal with Drag Race from a RuPaul standpoint, which I think is a huge factor when you're trying to make RuPaul laugh and mm-hmm. you're thinking about cultural references and such. So we know that RuPaul likes the British sense of humor. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see. I think that the queens that haven't been judged by RuPaul are going to suffer a little bit because of that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of those things where I have no idea. I know what RuPaul's opinion is on some of the queens, but I have absolutely no idea how RuPaul is going to feel about these other queens. And although a queen may have gone far on her original season with a different set of judges, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to translate to, you know, the UK panel. Mm-hmm. And I think that that mm-hmm. is maybe something that we did see in this episode. But overall, this is a really strong group of mm-hmm. contestants. And that was my impression. I was like, oh no, this is going to be emotional for me every single week. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm regretting not, you know, giving UK a bit more time because there's so much Drag Race out there nowadays mm-hmm. that it's so hard for me to remember some of these queens and like what they were like on their first season. So like, I feel like I'm sort of like at an information deficit. I remember a lot about Lemon because we did cover Drag Race mm-hmm. Canada. And so that was interesting. But I know nothing about Pangina. I know nothing about, what's the queen from Holland?
Janie Jacquet.
Janie Jacquet. I know nothing about her. The only people that I really know for real are, you know, the American girls. And how could you forget Jimbo? So Jimbo kind of stands out as well. So yes, the North American queens are the ones that I guess I'm paying attention to, which is so, it's so ethnocentric. I'm a horrible person.
It's so funny that you said that because in my mind I went, you know what, it's same for me. It's like I know the UK, I know Canada and the US really well. I've seen Thailand and I, mm-hmm. but I didn't watch Holland even though I heard Holland was really good. And in my head, I went, how ethnocentric? At the same time, you said ethnocentric. So like, wow, I feel that. Yeah. So I don't know. I think that's going to be an interesting dynamic. Is this, you know, who the audience knows? And I would say a queen that the audience knows really well, I don't think came off that great in this episode.
Jujubee. No, Monique Hart. Jujubee's talent should have been in the, she should have been in the bottom.
Oh, I agree. I was talking about the
bag of chips. Who?
No, I was talking about Monique Hart. Like, okay. Monique Hart was like,
she came across as a total bitch.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, because the first time that I watched it, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh my God, like what's going on here? But then when I was in that, because Bob the Drag Queen hosted like a Twitter Spaces, like I think 2 days after the episode. And he had a few other queens from around the world in there too. And he was like, yeah, is it, he was like, am I just being sensitively black? Or did it feel like all of the queens sort of just like jumped on her when she walked in? And I was like, I don't think so, Bob. I feel like she was kind of abrasive when she walked in. But then when I watched it back, I was like, okay. So they did sort of like, you know, they were like, oh, so what are you going to do differently this time? And she's like, well, what are you going to do differently this time? I was like, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. She's like, well, I'm going to send you guys home. So I was like, I thought it was just like playful banter, but then it did sort of feel like the energy shifted whenever she walked in the room. So I'm like, what's going on here? Like, is Monique just trying to be like, you know, the villain of the season because she's already done this a couple of times and she's like, whatever, I'm just going to be the girl that I want to be. Is it TV time? Like, and that whole story with Blue was just like kind of crazy. I was like, really, Monique? Like, you're yelling at other queens so that your wardrobe doesn't get messed up? Like, who are you? Like, this.
That was wild.
That for me was the story that like solidified, like, for me was more of that. But I always appreciate when people take ownership, and she apologized and she said, you know, we all feel our fantasy sometimes, and that's not okay that I did that to you. And I'm here for that. That takes ownership and that shows really who she is. Right.
Right.
I have to say, just in general, and we know Jujubee is shady. And that's why we've loved Jujubee. But I think what is important for us, especially as Americans while watching the show, is recognizing the drag culture that we often see is not necessarily what other countries have. So when the Americans come in and they're super competitive, because even if you aren't in the pageant scene, or even the ball scene, those elements are still a part of many drag scenes within the US, which is very competitive. You have this competitive, shady nature that walks in versus the UK are like shady clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of like the UK scene. I think it's like they talked about, like, you know, Canada's very cabaret. Like, there's different feels. And I think that the culture that the US competitors are going to bring is going to inherently clash potentially with some of the other competitors. So when we see every other country essentially walk in first and they're all getting along, and then you have this competitive nature come in, I don't know how much of that is the individual queens and how much of that is like purely just what they're accustomed to when they're on Drag Race.
Well, and I think it's going to be something that, as we only saw, you know, 1 hour of edited television. Okay. Let's see what happens over, you know, the next couple episodes. It also could just be an initial. I mean, this is shocking, right? To have this world stage of drag and so many top queens competing against one another.
Yeah. And the fact that they have to like vote each other out, which I'm sure they probably thought might be a thing. Like, the claws are going to come out early because, like, like you're all rooting for your own country. And of course, not that the Ukrainians really have anything like a hometown advantage. Well, I guess they kind of do because the judges are more likely to be from the UK. So they might, you know, the humor, the style, just
Michelle Visage is clearly going to root for the UK queens. Like,
so they might have a bit of a hometown advantage. You want to impress people and you want to do well, and you want to represent your country well. So it's going to get competitive real fast. I mean, unless you're Jimbo and you're like, well, I could get rid of the Canadian queen now and then I could be the only one.
Wait, did you hear that background story from
Roscoe's? Yeah. No. So this is it's a video that it's floating out there. I saw it on Reddit. It's on Twitter also, but essentially it's Lemon and Jimbo telling the story of what actually happened during that whole, you know, am I going to send you home or not? Which essentially Jimbo is like, okay, spoiler for the video. Jimbo's like, there's no way in hell I'm going to send you home. There's absolutely no way in hell. And then the producers go to Jimbo and be like, but like, can you just make it a little bit more mysterious? Essentially.
So okay, it's just really great because like Jimbo's like, you're my little sister, I'm not sending you home, yeah, like, clearly blah blah blah, and then they're like, we needed to be a little bit more vague as to who you're gonna do, and then she's like, or will I send you home?
Yeah. So that's where that that's line funny. Came from, which was like the funny part about it. So
now yeah. Did she still send her home? Because that lip sync looked like it was
Was she trying? Alone.
Thankfully, like, because we watched Drag Race Canada, I was like, no, this is, Jimbo is so good at so many things. Lip syncing is not one of them.
But I just felt like she could have done anything else other than what she was doing. It was just a bunch of...
My favorite part is when she goes to fall and Pangina literally spins around and catches her. And that's my favorite one. I just need to, I'm going to put out there right now. I have a huge crush on Pangina heels, both in and out of drag. Yeah. I am obsessed and I hope she wins. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
If they do her dirty in this season, I will be very mad.
Yeah,
that was another thing that Bob was talking about. She was like, well, yeah, just so much pressure on Pangina because, like, how's she going to lose and then come back to host talent and it'd be like, sashay away. Like, no, bitch, you sashay away.
It's like Brooklyn Heights being the judge of Canada after not winning the U.S. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in general, I thought that this was a okay talent show. I agreed that Janie should have been in the bottom because they were really underwhelming. I agreed that Lemon should have been in the bottom, and I thought that Juju should have been in the bottom. I think that Lemon, like, her face betrayed her the entire time. It looked like, what is my move I'm supposed to do now? Like, it was so, it didn't flow well. Yeah. Didn't like that they were like, it was unoriginal. I'm like, I can watch somebody jump into a split from heights many times, shut your damn mouths. On top of the fact that, how are you going to come back and say it's an unoriginal idea when everybody else is lip sync a song that they've created? Like, that's an unoriginal idea.
That. You cannot use that as a negative critique when everybody else, maybe with the exception of maybe the people put like interesting twists on it, like Blue Hydrangea, she had that whole little contraption. So that was cool. But essentially it boils down to the same thing, lip syncing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, which they do every week. So yeah, I didn't like that either.
I also So I'm sorry, but you're going to give, like, I couldn't tell if they were praising Bag of Chips's Oscar look.
I was like,
why did you have a sword?
I don't know. I don't think that she knows. I mean, to be fair, I mean, I'm actually looking at an Academy Award now, and it does look like he has a sword.
It does?
Really?
It's super thin. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What? Well, then that is like, that's a gag for me.
It looks like some of them do and some of them don't. I'm trying to find it does. He has a super
thin. Like this.
Super thin. No, they're like this. And there's like a small pole. Essentially looking sword that goes down.
Oh, you know what? I kind of see it. Sort of? I think there's like a line.
Yeah, there's a line. It's so interesting.
It was just like the space between his legs.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
I don't know. Right, regardless, fine. I would not have done
this. No, he is holding one because he has one, he has one hand here and one hand here.
This look and praise this.
It was a choice. It was a choice. I don't understand. They're like, you need to push it further for Lemon. I was like, she looks absolutely drop dead gorgeous from head to toe. Like, there's not a single thing I would change with that outfit. And
I was sad.
Bag of Chips face doesn't match the rest of her.
This is like blowing Amon's mind.
So it's like the Oscars, the official from the Oscars website, the official Oscar statuette facts design. A stylized figure of a knight holding a crusader's sword standing on a reel of film with five spokes signifying the five original branches of the Academy. Actors, directors, producers, technicians, and writers. No clue that was the thing. I thought that little black thing was just a platform. I did not know that it was a reel of film. This is blowing my mind. Okay. Wow.
Learn something new every day, I guess.
Regardless.
Yeah, regardless, whatever, it's ugly. I don't care. And I'm biased and I love Lemon and I hate everyone else.
I'm going to be honest, too. I've had really conflicting feelings about Jimbo's look.
Oh, yeah. Let me pull
I thought it was a choice to, and I know that it's not like the same as like cultural blackface, but it was still blackface when the rest of her body was still white. Like, I didn't like that portion of it. Like, if you're gonna do that dark of a face, your chest should be that black, your hand should be that black. I thought that that was really weird. I think it was an interesting
she didn't want that she didn't want that. that paint to mess up her yes, titties please.
Yeah.
Then don't paint. I don't know. I don't know. I'm white. So who, what am I to say? But I, that was an interesting choice for me. But I thought the overall look itself was really cool. I just didn't, I've been really uncomfortable with not knowing how to feel about the makeup. I think makeup.
Right. Now, if she would have had some big old red lips, then that would. But I think it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. It means just black face paint. I mean, I think because also she's got the face kini, like it fits what she's going for. Yeah, here.
And she did the white eyes and that kind of thing. It just was to me, it's regardless of the cultural aspects of it, like it's just weird that you wouldn't paint the chest and the hands. Like the hands have like a mesh glove on them that are supposed to be like just at least make them black as well. I don't know.
If anything, I think it ruins, you know, it's a further hindrance on her for lip syncing, because I can't see shit that you're saying, girl. And even exactly. If I can't see what you're saying, like, it's kind of hard to like see any emotion through all of the paint.
Hard. Yeah, this was absolutely when she was in the top, I was like, I don't even know how she's going to lip sync. I mean, they let them change. But even then, it was just like.
What was she going to change into?
She has to wear. Yeah, she can't. Well, what's she going to wear? You know what I mean? Yeah. Because
she'd have to take off her entire face and put a new one on. Yeah, and exactly. They don't have time for that.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So. Okay. Let me like condense my thoughts. So I'm sad that Lemon is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand it to a certain extent, but I'm still sad and I can't tell if I'm like hella biased and that's why. I'm upset, or if this is justified. But okay,
I think Jujubee could have gone here, but they're never going to do it because it's Jujubee, yeah, which is sort of you're sort of cheapening the competition. But Juju, like, she can sing, but at least if you're going to sing, at least you give us some more belts. Like, you gave us a very, very like dreamy sing. What the hell you sang on Queen of the Universe? Like, we want to hear you. Like, if sing is going to be your thing, then you need to, like, we need to hear it. Okay.
Agreed.
Not this freaking Save a Queen song.
Yeah, I know. Save a Queen song. No.
Imagine if she had sung that song and we didn't know what it was. And then 4 days later,
weirdest episode inside of 14, joke ever. Like, so referential.
It's all connected.
Anyway, I'm sad to lose Lemon. I saw a tweet that was like, this is not very BFF necklace VIP guest list. And I was like, that is correct. So I'm sad about that. I'm just going to shut up about it. What I don't want to shut up about is Jimbo again, but Jimbo's talent show, because it's pretty much every tweet I've liked is like either Jimbo's reaction shots or like something about Jimbo. I texted my sister the video and she was like, she said, what was I even watching? This would be so hard to describe because I was going to describe it to her, but I just sent her the video.
Yeah, try sending this on Gardic phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, actually.
Okay.
All right, the next time the three of us are playing together, we're 100% doing Jimbo. One of us has to. As like the,
oh, that's so funny.
I'm like, I understand why she's in the top, I guess, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. It was such a moment. I also have to say, I know that Liana's obsessed with this because, like, she literally texted in our little group and was like, I'm not going to spoil anything for UK versus the world, but I am going to send you this. And it was just a gif.
The reaction shots is giving me the live. I had such a fun time watching this episode. Like between seeing Lemon back on my screen, I am stoked for Blue Hydrangea. I thought that she, even though it wasn't in the top this week, I thought that her performance was really fun. Her looks, even though this week, I don't really understand how it fit the category, but you know, troll doll meets best drag, I guess. I don't know, whatever. I'm excited for her. Pangina, as you guys were mentioning, this is the most pressure. She's a freaking host and she is coming back and competing. And I thought that she just slayed the challenge from, no, she slayed the episode from top to bottom.
She did.
Such a strong showing from her. And I think she's going to continue to kill it throughout the challenge. Jimbo, just everything about this. I'm really excited for this season, you guys.
I also want to put out there, I was obsessed with Monique Hart's look, the green gown with the crown. Oh my God, she looked amazing.
Beautiful.
It was all the fabric.
That was my favorite look of the runway. It was so good.
It was really gorgeous.
How do you guys feel about Lemon? Do you think that Pangina made the right call?
Yeah, I think she did. I mean, strategically, send home the girl that's, you know, is going to be good competition, because you know that there was more of her Lemon that she had in the chamber, and you're getting a chance to like save someone that you know would save you in the end. Like, strategically, yes. Narratively, no. But they're there to play the game, so do what you need to do.
I would agree. I also think that it was a smart strategic decision, but if you are just... If Lemon had been eliminated because of the judges, because it was based on the strength of what she gave in that episode, then I would have been like, no, I do not agree with that. But totally agree with Amon. From a strategic perspective, get rid of the stronger queens. So
it's been really interesting. I think that this week, unfortunately, I feel like Lemon has obviously a much larger fan base than Janie JK does. And I think that because of that, people have been very emotional, understandable, about, you know, Lemon leaving. But there's been a lot of racist things sent to Pangina Heels. And that's like, not okay.
Seriously?
And I'm like, I also, there's a part of me that's kind of like, you know, she's got to be strategic. If you're Janie or Pangina, you don't have anybody else from your country that can be there, right? So you gotta kind of make them almost alliances where you can. So I think it made sense both narratively and whatever for her to get rid of and strategically to get rid of Lemon. But guys, it's a show.
It's a TV show.
Like, also, she's a host. If she sends you home, it's definitive.
It's like essentially the judge is sending you home. Okay. The last thing I do want to mention is I know that it's technically like an all-star season. So I know that they're doing the all-star rules where, you know, you have the two queens, top queens lip syncing against one another. But because the UK can't give out money for the winner, I would much rather have the bottom two queens, especially with this tier. And caliber of the queens that we have. I want to see them lip sync for your life. So I was actually a little devastated when they mentioned that it was going to be a lip sync for the crown instead of a lip sync for your life. But
I agree.
Whatever. Fine. Okay. Anything else about Drag Race at all?
No.
No. Okay. Then that does it for us this week, covering both the US and UK versus the world. We will be back next week to give our thoughts on episode 6 and our thoughts on the second episode of UK versus the world. So we're covering 14 and UK versus the world in this style. I think this is what we're going to do moving forward, where majority of the time we're going to cover 14, season 14. And then we'll talk a little bit about just our general thoughts. I know it's a little bit delayed because the episode is on, I think, a Tuesday for UK versus the world. But unfortunately, we just don't have the time to commit to a whole separate podcast. So we will be talking about it. Do not worry. All right, Amon, what plugs, what you got going on? I know you're on the morning update today. What else is in the hopper for you?
Yep, did the morning update today. You can always follow me anywhere. I'm on Adwin playing Harry Potter games over on Twitch. Back at the choir room, continuing more Glee coverage. And I'm also covering Euphoria with Grace Leader over on Post Show Recaps. Today's Euphoria Day, so we'll get more Euphoria tonight. So if you're following that, it's going to be a hell of a ride.
Euphoria Day. I love that. Okay. And Beth, what about you?
I'm still doing Lost in the Nanny coverage on Hot Mess Moments. Last week, we had Kirsten McInnes join us, and it was a hot mess moment, so you should definitely check it out. It was a lot of fun. And I'm covering Celebrity Big Brother with my weekly meltdown. So if you need supplemental coverage to the wonderful amounts that RHAP puts out there, and or if you just want to listen to me be a dumb bitch, then you can tune in there.
And you can always catch me being a dumb bitch here or on Twitter, @LianaRHAP. Again, chugging along with all of the wonderful Drag Race. And then I'm scheduled for some celebrity Big Brother podcast somewhere along the way. So I'll be there popping up here and there. All right. Again, you can leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. So please, if you get an opportunity to do that, we really appreciate it. If you could leave a 5-star rating, don't even need a review. Honestly, you just want to give the rating. We're happy with that as well. It helps people find the podcast and gets us on the map. Rob has a website.com/dragrace if you're interested in doing that. Also, it's, again, the beginning of the month, which is the best time to become a patron of RHAP. If you're interested in joining the Patreon program, you can find more information on that at www.patreon.com/RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/Patreon. All right. Thank you, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes for all your wonderful help. And we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.